to the KSR pre-show. It is Monday, November 21st. Give us a call on the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line, 502-571-1080. Send us a text at 502-414-1724. You are listening to the voice of this generation's Casey Kasem, being joined right now on the line by Danny Bonaducci, a.k.a. Billy Rutledge, who is not here with me on our normal connection. You're on the phone right now. What's going on, Billy?
Yeah, good morning, Shannon. Glad to be with you. I'm not sure, you know. I spent so much time in the studio this weekend, I thought, hey, might as well do the show from the house this morning, and my Comrex equipment doesn't seem to be working. You know, so we're going to just do the best we can.
I was just referencing the fact that you and I were mentioned as a podcast that you must check out, a podcast that you must pay attention to, right? That's what I was referencing there at the start of the show, and that was on Busted Coverage from this past weekend. Maybe we have some new listeners. They tune in. What do they hear? They hear you on a phone. So, I got to tell you, this is very on brand for KSR.
That's right. I mean, it's not going to be KSR without some technical difficulties. But yes, I had to look up who those two people were to get the reference. But look at the KSR pre-show finally getting a little publicity there, Shannon. I mean, how do you feel? You're just spinning discs like the best DJs in the world.
Hey, hang on now. I got to back up. You just said you don't know who those two people that I just referenced are. You don't know who Casey Kasem is?
No idea, Shannon.
You have got
no idea.
The top 20 countdown that was on the radio like throughout the 90s and I guess even going back to the 80s? Really? You don't know?
Well, so people seem to forget I was born in 1995, so you miss a lot of radio shows from the 80s and 90s.
I believe he was still on, you know, you don't listen to the radio, right?
I mean, I'm not sure. Was he your generation's Ryan Seacrest? Is that the best thing that we can compare this to?
I guess. Well, there was also Rick Dees, so I don't know. Maybe a little bit. But you don't know who Danny Bonaducci is either.
I don't. I know.
So it really,
seems on brand.
Really was not a compliment at all for you because you had no idea who either one of those guys were. And I got to tell you, Billy, I got that article sent to me while I was about to hop on the Polar Express from this Friday afternoon. Do you want to hear a little bit about the Polar Express before we jump into the Kentucky basketball and football games?
Yes, please, but I'm just amazed that we did a whole hour on Friday and you failed to mention it on the pre-show that you'd be dressing up in matching pajamas and going on the Polar Express with your girlfriend this weekend. I thought that was what this show was for, Shannon, so yes, I would love to hear how that went.
Well, I completely forgot about it, to be honest with you, and then we're talking during the break. On the KSR show on Friday, and Matt's like, I don't have anything going on this weekend. What are you guys doing? And I started thinking, I was like, you know what? Actually, I do have something going on tonight. I'm going to jump on the Polar Express train in French Lick, Indiana, and I've got to go with my girlfriend's parents and her family, and we've got to dress in matching pajamas. Not my idea, by the way. I just want to say, this is one of those things where it's so popular that it sells out a year in advance. And these tickets aren't exactly cheap. We're talking about probably 70, 80, 90, somewhere in that range per ticket that was already bought for me. And when somebody buys you a ticket like that, you can't just say, no, I'm not going to go because I'm too cool for school. I'm a tough guy. I can't go on the Polar Express. You know what I'm saying? So I felt kind of obligated to go. And by the way, apparently there is a narc in the family because somebody told everyone else that I was complaining about the Polar Express. So at least one of her family members actually listens to KSR. I don't know which one it is, but they say, yeah, we heard you talking about how you didn't want to go on the train ride earlier today.
Oh, no.
So then I get busted out in front of the family for not wanting to go and kind of, you know, downplaying the whole thing. But I'll tell you, man, I mean, it was probably built for kids. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But she has a nephew who's like 4 years old, and that's really what it was for. So we went for him and for the family. But we did. We dressed up in our pajamas. We jumped on the train. And it was kind of fun, man. I mean, it really was. If you play along, you could have a lot of fun on there, even as an adult, because they had, like, they bring you the hot chocolate. They bring you the souvenir mug you get to keep. They had, like, the dancing chefs. They kind of play out part of the movie with real-time actors that come on there dressed up as the characters and everything. So it's one of those things where if you did it with the family, it's fun for one time. I wouldn't want to go back again. But it's all right. You know, it lasts about an hour and 10, hour and 20 minutes, something like that. So it's not overly long to the point where you're like, all right, I'm over this at this point. But it was fun. I would give it probably a 7 out of 10.
Okay, well, you know, Matt poo-pooed a little bit, but I grew up reading that book, Shannon, so I actually enjoyed the tale, and I'm not going to say I was jealous, but I did understand what you were going to go through. Did they give you a bell at all
yes.
that you had to ring?
Yes.
If, you know, if you believed, did they give you that?
They gave me the bell, yeah. It was my bell that, actually, it turned out to be my lucky bell, because I took it over to the casino after that, had it in my pocket, and won like $60 on blackjack. And I'm one of these people,
oh,
I don't know about you,
that?
Man. No, $60 is not a lot of money. I get that, right? But I'm one of these people when I know when to quit, because I've done this before. You go to the casino, you win a little bit, then you're like, oh, I'm on a roll, man. I got $50, $60 in my pocket. I'm going to quit, right? Or I'm going to keep going. But me, I'm like, no, I win $60, I'm done. I quit. I'm never going to win big at the casino because I bet little, win a little, and then quit. Because if I don't, I know that I'm going to give it all back and go home with nothing.
Yeah, that is not me. I let it ride, Shannon, at all times, unless the night is coming to a close. And that's why I probably don't bring home any money when I go to Vegas or go to some of these casinos.
Yeah. I would rather bring home a little bit than lose a whole lot. You know what I mean? You can go all in and possibly win a lot of money, but then you could also lose a lot of money. So I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. Like, if I win just a little bit, I'll consider that a win and call it a night. But that's my strategy when it comes to gambling.
You know, here's the thing. When you're playing blackjack, you know, it impacts what other people do. I like to play games, you know, sometimes where I can just kind of do my own thing, but somebody comes and sits at your table and they don't know what they're doing. It impacts all of your cards. And so, you know, you're right. You got to be, it's a feeling out process of when you can get out and get out of something like that.
Yeah. So that was my Friday night. I just wanted to start it on a positive note before we get into what happened for Kentucky sports over the weekend. But I guess now.
Well, I need a picture of those matching PJs, Shannon. I don't know when you're going to post that.
Ryan already tweeted it out on Friday. You're like,
oh, he did.
Mind. Yeah. Yeah. We sent it to Ryan. We let him have exclusive rights to the picture, and he tweeted it out there. So here's the deal. Like with the matching pajamas, not everybody had matching pajamas. So like all the couples had matching pajamas, if that makes sense. So the entire family didn't have matching pajamas, but like the couples had pajamas that matched. Does that make sense?
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think I'm on the Comrex unit now if you want to try Access One.
Oh, we're actually producing on the fly here. All right, let me jump. Okay, I'll tell you what. Yes, yeah, there we go. Let me turn that down, turn that on.
All right, I'm turning the phone off.
There you go. Phone's off.
That's Top 5 podcast you need to check out.
Top 5 podcast in America, ladies and gentlemen. Check us out. We do it on the fly. Sometimes we're on the phone. Sometimes we don't get connected at all. But you're on the regular connection now, and you sound much better.
Well, thank you. I just had to reset the internet connection, you know, Shannon. Just
yeah.
Got to do that every once in a while.
That's right. Control-Alt-Delete, blow into the cartridge, you know, whatever it takes to get on the air.
That's right.
All right, so I guess, do you want to start with the football game? Do you want to start with the basketball game? Where do you want to start?
Let's start basketball. That was most recent.
All right, well, what do you make of the game? I mean, I guess, to say the least, the team seemed like they had no energy. They had no fight, as Jacob Toppin said after the game. I mean, it's a clear example that is Gonzaga winning the rebound battle. I mean, if you want to look at the fact that they had no fight, just look at the rebound battle. 39-29, Kentucky loses that. Oscar had 15 of your rebounds on his own, which means the entire team, the rest of the team, only had 14 for the game. I think the Oscar-Timmy matchup was as good as advertised, but Kentucky needed some of the other guys to step up, Billy, and that just didn't happen last night.
Yeah, I don't think Kentucky was ready for that moment, Shannon. They weren't ready for this week, as they were able to beat South Carolina State, but the double overtime loss to Michigan State and now Gonzaga gives them two losses on the season. It's tough to stay in a game when you go 0-10 from the three-point line in the first half and only shoot 25%, but Kentucky did. I mean, they did make it a four-point game at one point, Shannon, but even when I say that, it didn't ever feel that close.
No.
Right?
No, it felt like Gonzaga dominated the entire game from start to finish. They start off on an 8-0 run. You know, Kentucky's down, 10-15 mm-hmm. for most of the game. Then they kind of made a run in the second half, as you mentioned there. But it still never felt like they were really in the game. It always felt like Gonzaga was always one or two steps ahead of them the entire way.
Yep, and it really discouraging to see that Gonzaga was able to out-rebound Kentucky at the pace that they were doing.
Yeah.
Oscar Tshiebwe seemed like he wasn't 100%, whether it be mentally or physically, even though he did finish with 20-15, and he wasn't the problem. He had to be subbed out pretty early, and at times he seemed really gassed in the game. I think the biggest question mark I have, Shannon, is what this team was doing on offense. Because Coach Calipari said in his post-game press conference after the game that Oscar was just – not on the same page with everybody on the offensive end. So in the second half, they didn't run any plays. They entirely went to the dribble drive in the second half. And let me tell you, that offense looked a lot better in the second half than it did the first.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, Shannon. Well, they were able to break even in the second half.
At least there was some sort of adjustment that Cal made, because that's always been the criticism. Cal doesn't make any halftime adjustments. I think there was clearly an adjustment.
Well, that is a halftime adjustment. But here's the thing, Shannon. How does Oscar Tshiebwe not know any of the plays? I mean, he's the returning National Player of the Year. He's actually been with Kentucky for 2 years now after he transferred from West Virginia. I'm just not sure why he wouldn't be able to know the plays, and why this team, after they've lost two this week, you know, seems to be just not ready for these moments. They haven't played enough together. I thought these teams played in the Bahamas. It's just, I was very surprised to hear Cal say something like that. I was surprised to hear Jacob Toppin saying guys weren't stepping up. Oscar Tshiebwe after the game said, a lot of the times we just don't run what Cal tells us to run. It feels like the drama meter went way up after this game.
That's concerning if the team does not run what Cal calls out. I mean, is it not? If the coach draws up something, you know, everybody just says, well, Cal just rolls the ball out there. Well, if Cal is drawing stuff up and the team's not running it, that's a completely other problem that they have at this point. It seems like that the players are just doing what they want.
Yep,
and that's a
Cal
concern.
Just embraced that and shifted to street ball in the second half, and Kentucky was able to claw their way back, but eventually it wasn't enough. But, you know, here's the thing, Shannon. It's such a good thing that Kentucky got that moved out of the kennel, right? Because if you want the Cats to play in an arena that's less than 10,000 seats, you want them to lose. But
those are Cal's words, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I really don't think, though. I mean, I know you're mentioning Oscar. I don't think that Oscar was really the problem. I think if you don't have Oscar, you're losing by 30. I mean, he had 20 points, 15 rebounds, so he had a typical Oscar game, but maybe the energy wasn't quite there, wasn't on the same level. But if you look at the stat line, those numbers match up as to what he did last year consistently throughout the season. I know a lot of people were complaining about Jacob Toppin in the first half, but actually in the second half, I think he kept Kentucky in the game.
Yeah, but you don't want to see that. That's not the offense that you want to see from Kentucky, Jacob Toppin from mid-range. You know, that's kind of what Matt and I discussed a lot last night on the post-game show that went a little late, is that that's not what you want to see. That's not going to be the crunch time bucket. We did want to see CJ and Reeves play at the same time. I thought they did a lot in the second half. But, Shannon, they end the game 6-25 for three as a team. Reeves 2-7 from deep, Frederick 1-6. CJ's really struggled to start this year. Hopefully he can regain some confidence and be the shooting threat that we all expect him to be. But, you know, Shannon, this is really disappointing. You know, we cannot get used to losing, right? I think that was Matt's main message last night, is that this is Kentucky basketball. You cannot get used to these type of things. We should expect better from Kentucky, and this has not been a good start to the season.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, talking about some of the guys that needed to step up, this team, I think, is going to rely on shooting this year. I don't know that a lot of Calipari's teams in the past have necessarily had to have great shooting to win games, but I feel like this is going to be one of those years where they have to have a good shooting performance. And C.J. Frederick only putting up 3 points, you got to have more from him. I think eventually you're going to have to get more from Chris Livingston. You know, we talked about how he stepped up last game, but he only had 8 minutes. But I think that he's going to be a guy that at times they're going to rely on. And you can't put up a goose egg. If you're Chris Livingston.
And who can back up Oscar Tshiebwe? Because when he got into foul trouble, that's when Gonzaga went on their biggest run, and they were able to kind of escape from the Cats. So whether it be Onyenzo stepping up more, Damian Collins, who didn't play a lot at all in this last game.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are going to have to find some production from somewhere. But Oscar, you're right, he wasn't the problem. But just some strange remarks after the game from this Kentucky team. It's going to be an interesting season, no doubt. It could be a long season, as Jacob Toppin said, but yet – we're only, what, 1-2 weeks into the season?
Yeah, Vinetti and I were talking earlier today. I'm not going to freak out yet. It's early on. They're 3-2. I understand Kentucky fans want to win every game. I understand that. But I don't think that I think it's too early to overreact just yet. I know that we're still bringing back a lot of veterans, a lot of guys who have been here with the program for a couple of years at least. I'm not ready to completely... just say this is going to be a terrible season. It's too early to make that kind of judgment, I think.
I don't know. Shannon, it seems like Kentucky's formula has always been, we have the better athletes, you adjust to our game plan. And I just don't think that seems to be working. I'm not going to try to overreact either, but
Kentucky basketball, I expect a lot more, especially against primetime opponents like that. It just doesn't seem like anything's changed. So I think there is reason to be frustrated, but you know, there's plenty of time to get this thing straightened out.
And now John Calipari is no longer the highest paid coach on campus. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes as well. 502-571-1080. Give us a call on the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line. He's Billy Rutledge. I'm Shannon the Dude. We're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back on the KSR Pre-Show. We'll take some of your phone calls coming up in just a minute. But first, Billy, before the break, I was mentioning that John Calipari is no longer the highest paid coach on Kentucky's campus. It now belongs to Mark Stoops, who got a $2 million per year raise in salary that was just announced. They worked on this apparently before the Vanderbilt game. It's just there was really never a good time to roll out this announcement after they lost to Vanderbilt. I think that's what the plan was originally, you know, to probably announce it that Monday after the Vandy game. Mm-hmm. And presumably, you know, you're thinking you're going to win that game. But, of course, they end up losing. That's when they announced the NIL collective. And then probably didn't want to announce that same day that Stoops just got a big raise as well after a Vanderbilt loss.
Yeah, you're expecting to be excited and happy. And then that happens. And then you have to put that on hold. Here's the thing, though, Shannon. I don't think they ever did send out the release. I think this was obtained by open records requests. So I don't know if Kentucky ever made this public. You know, mentioned was the fact is that now Stoops makes $8.6 million per year, and John Calipari makes $8.5 million.
How long do you think that's going to last?
I think probably not long.
Cal now needs to make 8.6 and a dollar.
But what a brilliant move by whether it be, I guess, Stoops' agent or whoever helped to negotiate that deal.
Yeah.
I mean, after the basketball football school comments in this offseason as well. Look, Stoops may – Kentucky may be a little disappointing this year, not living up to everybody's expectations, but look at the big picture as a whole. Look what Mark Stoops has done at Kentucky and where he's brought it from. And I'm hearing, Shannon, I'm hearing from some sources that where there were some Power 5 schools reaching out to Mark Stoops, maybe a Nebraska – that could have forced Kentucky's hand a little bit.
Are we really worried about losing Stoops to Nebraska?
It's all about leverage, Shannon. It's about saying, hey, these guys are contacting me. Yeah. What can you do about my contract?
Uh-huh.
And I think that Stoops may have parlayed that a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe we should put some of that money towards a good OC.
Oh.
I'm just saying. I mean, maybe we need to start there. But, I mean, I guess this takes Stoops' name off the table for the Auburn conversation, which I don't think it was ever really a threat that he was going to leave Kentucky for Auburn to begin with. I mean, if you're Kentucky, you're really worried about him leaving for Nebraska. I don't know. But either way, the guy got paid. I'm not mad about it. He's here until 2031, at least on the contract. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really bad timing, I guess, for it to come out, regardless if it was requested through the open records, as you said, or however it came out. It's just bad timing for it to come out. Maybe wait till the end of the season. You know, I mean, could you imagine, especially if Kentucky ends up losing this game to Louisville on Saturday? You say that the guy just got a $2 million raise after losing to Vandy and Louisville if that were to happen. I mean, let's face it, Louisville's playing much better than what we expected. They're coming in with more wins than Kentucky is. And that's not something I would have expected.
Kentucky only a 4-point favorite in the Louisville game. I think if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have called you crazy.
Yeah.
But you're right, Shannon, not the best time for this. Drinkwitz got a contract extension right after Missouri got their butt handed to him one time this week. So it's tough, but, you know, Mark's brought a lot of continuity to this program, so hopefully he can continue to do that. My question is, which offense has been worse this year, Shannon? You mentioned the offensive coordinator.
But yeah.
Would you rather be Scangarillo, or would you rather be Kentucky's offense in basketball recently?
Ugh, I don't know. That's a tough call right now. Still early on for the basketball team, so I'm going to reserve judgment until later on in the season.
Shannon has not hit the panic button.
Well, no, not in November. Come on, man, not in November.
Okay, but there's a stat out there that's flying around. I think Corey Price had this, that you know, national champions don't lose two games in November, Shannon. Like, that it's never happened. The last time a national championship has lost two games in November was maybe the 80s or 90s, Shannon. Certainly hasn't happened in this decade.
Well, I mean, that means they're due then, right? I mean, look, you can throw all the stats out there you want. I mean, we see things happen that haven't happened in 30 years, 40 years in Louisville basketball's case. Losing three straight games by 1 point. So, I mean, things are eventually going to change. Things are going to be broken. That's just a trend that's been going on for quite some time. But I don't think that means Kentucky can't win a national championship just because they lost two games in November. I don't think there's any correlation.
I think things have to change, or they're not sniffing a Final Four, Shannon.
Yeah. Now, Kentucky football loses to Georgia 16-6. I mentioned on Friday that I think that if Kentucky were able to keep the game close for three quarters, then anything could happen, and that's what Kentucky's defense did. I mean, they gave Kentucky's offense every opportunity, and that's all you could ask for in that type of game. So I think you got to commend the defense, at least, for putting up a great effort, holding the number one team in the country to only 16 points. I mean, Georgia couldn't put it in the end zone. They had to settle for three field goals.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett looked rattled at times. This is a great bounce-back performance after Kentucky lost to Vanderbilt. By the way, a Vanderbilt team that beat Florida.
Yeah, how about that? Vandy goes from a 26-game losing streak in the SEC to a two-game winning streak.
Exactly right.
Knocking off Florida.
But, you know, Shannon, I commend Kentucky for keeping it close, playing the way that they did in the second half. You know, they had that 99-yard drive, and thank God they did, or I thought they might have left Scangarello, you know, at the Jeff Ruby's after this game, Shannon. I'm serious. I mean, things are not going well until Kentucky had back-to-back drives late. You know, it's just about getting in the end zone. They weren't able to do that in the first half, and then again, special teams kills them before they have any chance to actually make it a game.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. We will take your phone calls coming up next. The phone lines are loaded. We'll get to all of you coming up. 502-571-1080. It is the KSR Pre-Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is the KSR Pre-Show. Shannon the Dude and Billy Rutledge. Billy, I do want to mention, I mean, not every Kentucky athletic team lost over the weekend. You know, I'm the Kentucky men's soccer correspondent for KSR. I do want to mention, how about the Kentucky men's soccer team winning 4-0 over South Florida at the Bell yesterday? They remain undefeated, and they move on to the Sweet 16, where they will face Pittsburgh. So a big shout-out to the UK men's soccer team and, of course, Coach Johan Cedergren.
That's right.
That's right,
my
guy.
And I'm watching a little World Cup right now. England-Iran going on.
Yes.
And the United States will play at 2 o'clock today against Wales. So I can feel my patriotic juices flowing this morning, Shannon.
How, I guess, calm or how excited is the sober crowd that you're looking at right now since you're watching? Is the crowd into it? They can't drink.
For England and Iran, I really don't know.
You're watching the game. Can you not see the crowd? Are they
No, you can't really
see
the crowd.
They're not chanting or anything like soccer fans do?
No, I'm trying to pay attention to the pre-show, Shannon, obviously.
Oh, you know, good. You mean,
towards this.
You mean you're actually going to listen
that.
To me?
England scores 4-0 in the 61st minute. That's going to be a tough matchup for the States.
And the crowd has no reaction because they're all
sober.
And
the crowd has no reaction. That's right. $300 billion, by the way, is what Qatar spent on this World Cup.
Wow.
To get the infrastructure ready and all these stadiums. $300 billion with a B.
Wonder how much money they could have made off alcohol sales.
Well, I could use a little bit of that. But by the way,
yes.
You look great in those matching pajamas. It's not like a onesie or anything.
No. It's just a shirt and then like your plaid pajamas.
Pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the move.
What, so you thought I was going to be dressed up in a onesie?
I thought you were going to be like a reindeer. Yeah.
No. That's why everybody's crushing it. I'm going, all right, well, that's fine. Go ahead. Crush me if you want to. I don't care.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. I've been in the footy pajamas.
I don't regret it. I don't regret it one bit. It was fun.
Good.
It was something different for a Friday night. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's hear from some of our listeners. Let's go to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Happy Monday. And to Billy's point, I don't think this basketball team – is Kentucky fans do want to win every game. It's a long winter. Days are getting dark at 5 o'clock. You know, we just want to see Kentucky go out and win 30 games, go to Elite Eights, go to Final Fours. We don't want to sit around and watch a team develop and get good in February. We want to win, and we want to win every game, or at least look like we can. And this team just doesn't look like it. The other thing is that, you know, you can kiss that number one seed and going to the South region goodbye also, they keep this up. So it's just frustrating. And we just all miss the days where, you know, they're winning 30 games and they're going to Final Fours and all that. So it's just frustrating.
Yeah. I understand, Mike. Thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. I think it is a lot of frustration. or a lot of the frustration is because of how they lost. They never were in the game, you know, getting blown out. I think that's part of the problem as well. It's not that you just lost to Gonzaga. It's that you didn't look like you even really wanted to be there for a large part of the game. There was no fight, no intensity, no energy, as we mentioned. And when you lose that way, it's like, okay, who do you blame that on? The coach right. can't go out there and make shots for you, but the coach can get your team mentally prepared and ready to go. And it felt like, and it looked like, Kentucky just wasn't there. They weren't ready to play the game last night. They weren't ready for the spotlight.
Right. That's something that you can control yourself. In a world where there's so many things you can't control, you know, your effort and energy is something that you absolutely can. So I think that's one of the most disappointing parts of this, Shannon, is that they just didn't look invested. They didn't look into it. And this is a UK basketball team with a lot of experience on the roster. Let's not kid ourselves, okay? These are not just 18, 19-year-old kids. This is the returning National Player of the Year. This is the assist leader in the SEC for the last 2 years. I mean, these are transfers that have played significant minutes at Power 5 programs like Iowa and Illinois State. So don't tell me that these guys, you know, just aren't ready for these scenarios
West because Virginia,
they clearly
Georgia,
have the talent. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they have the talent and the experience. It's just, it's mind-boggling, these early season issues, no doubt.
Let's go to Larry. Hey, Larry.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Larry.
Well, let me tell you guys, $16 million, and we're not getting a very good return on a lot of our stuff for two coaches. You know, I'll say a little bit about the football program. Mark Stoops, if he don't win this game, man, it's going to be major trouble. I mean, fans are going to be really, really infuriated, you know. You know, the Louisville game, they got to win that game.
You have to. You're absolutely right. You cannot go 6-6 with losses to Vanderbilt and losses to Louisville.
Can't do it.
You cannot have that happen. That's one of those things that if it does happen, you're going to see a lot of changes on the coaching staff, and I think especially offensive coordinator in particular.
Well, you know, and as far as the basketball, it's so frustrating. You know, years ago, I tell you what, I wasn't a Tubby fan, but I'll give Tubby this. That guy was good in X and O's. He couldn't recruit. Cal can recruit, but I wonder about his coaching now. I mean, you know, I've always heard Cal say, well, you know, we'll throw the ball. If you shoot, don't worry about it. We'll get the rebound and dunk it, or one of our guys will get it. Well, it ain't happening because we got our rebound. You know, you can't – athleticism don't always win the games. You know, teams like Gonzaga and them teams, they run plays and stuff. It seems like our kids get out there, and I just can't for my life understand what we're running on offense, especially – and the defense wasn't very good at all. You know, we're the University of Oscar. They can talk about Oscar Tshiebwe all they want. The kid's been hurt. The kid does give it 110%. It seems like the rest of our kids just, I don't know, they go through the most. You can't complain about us being young. You know, Frederick goes out there, and I don't know, maybe he's just maybe he's not a Division I player. I know he comes from Iowa, but maybe in the big games, maybe they just can't get it done, you know. And you sit there and wonder, you know, why can't these shots go in? They had open shots all night long, the other team did, and Gonzaga, but that has to do with a lot of the way you run your coaching styles and stuff. You know, these guys, they wanted it. They come off a big defeat. Kentucky players come out the first half dead.
Yeah.
Dead. I mean, you know, where's the pride? You know, the Cal better understand one thing. Kentucky fans, we, you know, Kansas has passed us. And I told another talk show host, which I'm a good friend of, and I told him and Kenny Walker, and I said, look, I said, we'll never catch them. And a matter of fact, I called him last night and said, do you think we're going to catch them now like this? And they laughed. I mean, he laughed. He said, of course, he knew what I was getting at. With play like this, guys, it's embarrassing. The name on the jersey means nothing to these kids no more. This NIL, whatever it is, they give all these kids this money. We're coming semi-pros. These coaches make way too much money. The players, you know, I thought this NIL was going to be help these kids out. These poor kids are getting a little bit of money. Now they're all getting rich. And they come out of high school, I think some of them are getting $1 million and $100,000. Heck, they make more than a lot of us people work 10 years. But it's just running the sports. I mean, it's just as frustrating as a Kentucky fan, you know, what this has come to. You know, Cal, you know, he thought he was so well-beloved that fans are going to say, well, you know, he's Coach Calipari, we're going to love him no matter what happens. No, you know, Tubby caught a lot of grief, and you're going to catch a lot of grief the same way. You know, it's Kentucky basketball. We ain't supposed to be getting blown out.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, we got blowed out last night, guys. That's it. You can face it all you want. We got blowed out. We did. It's embarrassing.
Thank you for the call, Larry. We appreciate
it.
As far as the NIL thing goes, I mean, we're not going backwards on that. So The NIL is what it is at this point. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about this team's offense, but defensively, there was a lot of blow-bys that the Gonzaga had on Kentucky last night as well. I mean, yeah. Timme just going right into the hoop with basically no contested shots, just going right in way too easily. So there's a lot of different things. You can point to the offense, but there were also a lot of defensive breakdowns as well if you go back and watch the game.
No, that's a great point, Shannon. They just seem to get to the rim at ease. That's something that you don't want to see. And, you know, this is a good reminder that these athletes are human beings, just like me and you, Shannon. I mean, Kentucky had some pretty low energy at home versus Vanderbilt a couple weeks ago, and then they responded and played a pretty great game against Georgia, a team that they were a 3-touchdown underdog to. That made that a game. So sometimes these kids are ready for it, and sometimes they aren't. I don't ever want to question a kid's heart and how much they care about what they're doing, but it was not encouraging to see the energy level of Kentucky. I do want to mention on the football side, Shannon, I think this whole season would be different if Will Levis would run the ball a little bit more on offense.
Yeah, but he can't because of the injury that he's dealing with.
You saw how effective he was now that he's kind of come away from that turf toe injury that he got from Ole Miss. But that just seemed to be such a big part of his offense last year. He was hurtling over players in the Louisville game. Now you just haven't seen that type of Will Levis. So I think that's been one of probably the biggest factors of the offense this year.
Oh, it's been a problem. But, you know, you have to figure out a different way to produce. I mean, that's part of being an offensive coordinator. If you're dealing with a quarterback who's restricted and can't scramble outside the pocket, you have to make adjustments. You have to say, okay, what else can we do to keep our offense flowing? And that hasn't really happened at all this year.
I'm just hoping the 10 receptions for 145 yards and a touchdown by Berrion Brown is enough to keep him at Kentucky for another season, Shannon, because I think there's some worries that he might leave.
Let's go to Terry. What's up, Terry?
Hey, guys. What really bothered me about Cal last night in the post game? I mean, and it's really not so much him. It's the media that's there with him that do not have the cojones to stand up to him. When he came off with that, did you see what I did there? I know y'all don't know anything about basketball, but did you see what I did in the second half? You know, because y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Somebody should have said, well, I know enough to talk about that you were getting your butt kicked. I know that. But nobody will ever say that to him because they're scared of him, which I don't understand. But I'll answer his question. What happened in the second half is whoever came down and got the first open shot it. That wasn't an offense. It just whoever came down top and come off the top of the key, he shot it. If they made one pass, whoever's on, because you're in desperation mode there. You're down 16, 18, 14, 12 points, you know. But it was just frustrating.
There's
because
a lot of running around on offense.
A lot of running around. Yeah. No set plays. You know, I don't care if Oscar knows the play or not. He gets 20. He can get 20 and 15 in his sleep. So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if he knows. But I tell you, the thing, I tried to get him back in the game. It was so frustrating. Toppin makes all those shots. Then he goes to the line down 10 or 8 and clanks two free throws. And they come down and hit a three game set match. Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate it, Terry. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, just a lot of frustration. I mean, that's... You go on the road to Gonzaga, you know that's going to be a tough environment there. You can act like it's not going to be a home game for them. Call it neutral court, whatever you may be. Those fans were into it, man, and that makes it a really tough environment. I just wish we could get something like that, something close to the environment that they played in front of last night at Rupp Arena, but I don't feel like we're ever going to get that. You know what I mean?
We have to wait till the Gonzaga game, Shannon, because remember, this is only the first of, what, 5 or 6 times that they'll play the Zags.
No, I'm just saying at Rupp Arena in general for any game, I wish our fans would be on the level or even close to the level that those fans were last night.
Yeah, well, let's play a game in Memorial Coliseum. That'd be a pretty fun game, I think.
Yeah.
But we got to do it in Rupp. So it is what it is, you know.
502-571-1080. We'll take some more of your phone calls coming up next. This is the KSR Pre-Show. We'll be right back. Coming up in just a minute, Shane and the Dude, Billy Rutledge. Billy, before we get to the phone calls, I want to tell you that I did, over the weekend, finish the Cornbread Mafia podcast. I think I am maybe one of probably less than 10 people on the planet who is able to actually listen to all 7 episodes of the podcast.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, man, they're working on bringing it back. And when they do, I think that people are going to definitely want to check it out because it's a really good podcast, really good production. But the stories on there are amazing. But here's the crazy thing. You know, we don't know who exactly had it pulled down. But to that person, I just want to tell you, you realize these stories that are on the podcast already exist. They're right. already out there. They've been out there for a decade in the Cornbread Mafia book. So I don't really understand why anybody would be so upset by the stories that are told in this podcast that they would have it yanked down, even though it's been out there publicly for a decade.
Yeah, and I'm not sure we'll ever know the answer of why it got taken down, Shannon, but it may have been the best thing to ever happen
yeah.
to the Cornbread Mafia
yeah.
podcast, but because I think some people might just solely listen just because it was taken down at one point, and look at all the publicity that we've been able to give it because of this is happening. So when it does come back, and hopefully it does, we can all be as lucky as Shannon and listen
yeah,
to the entire podcast.
But here's the crazy thing. I listened to it. I don't really understand what was so egregious that somebody said, well, you got to take that down. That can't be out there. I mean, those are, again, the same stories that already exist on another platform called a book. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's already out there. All these stories are already out there. They've been out there for a long time. It's just now on a different platform, being a podcast. And apparently that ruffled some feathers, and now...
Oh, nobody reads anymore, Shannon.
Yeah,
I got to watch my TikTok videos. That's the whole point.
502-571-1080. Let's get back to the phone calls. Let's talk to Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Got you, man. Go.
Hey, sometimes you don't hear me real good. The head referee of the game on Saturday, he was the same referee that we had last year in Athens, Georgia. Him and Stoops don't get along, and for the love of God, why'd they send that referee, the head referee, to do those games Saturday? I've got a theory. I think he'd made sure Georgia wasn't going to lose that game. Hence, on the opening kickoff, where did we start our opening drive from?
The 4-yard line, I think, right?
I told everybody up in the stands before that we kicked off, I said, something good ain't going to happen with this referee, and it took the first play of the game to get on the 4-yard line, and it was just unbelievable. And I ain't saying he cost us the game. No, I'm not saying that. I just thought it was weird that he would just happen to be there again in Lexington, Kentucky for this game on Saturday. That's pretty much it. I believe in conspiracy theories, and I just think they made sure Georgia wasn't going to lose that game. If Georgia was to lose that game Saturday and losing the SEC championship, the SEC might have nobody in the Final Four. I'm just leaving it to y'all for that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call, Joe. Billy, what do you think about Joe's conspiracy theory that the refs were out for? I don't know if I subscribe to that at all. But I don't think I've ever seen an opening kickoff be reviewed. Can you ever think of a game where on the opening kickoff we're going right to the monitors to see if there was a fair catch signal being called or whatnot? But it ends up on the 4-yard line to start the game.
You know, that's a good point. I don't think I have ever seen a kickoff be reviewed. But now they can call a fair catch, and they don't even have to be in the end zone,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's really confusing, because if it was a punt, it's down where you would catch it. But on these kickoffs, apparently you can call a fair catch, and you go back to the 25. But he didn't really give that much of a signal. So I can understand why Kentucky didn't win the challenge, looking back at Berrion Brown and the fair catch signal, but you're right, Shannon. Maybe the first time I have seen a review on the kickoff. I don't think the ref cost Kentucky that.
No,
game.
Absolutely not. But
I don't think at
but
all.
But an interesting thing, I was listening to the radio broadcast for the first part of the game, and Dick Gabriel mentioned that he heard one of the referees say, "I don't know why we just made the call that we made." That was on the broadcast.
I run the broadcast, and I don't remember that.
Yeah,
so that's a great tidbit, Shannon.
Yeah. So
do you remember what the play was?
Well, yeah, it was the opening kickoff.
Oh, it was the opening kickoff.
Opening kickoff, and he said the referee on the sideline judge just said, "I don't know why we just made that call." So not a great start
that
for anybody.
That's what you want to hear. That's what you want.
Exactly.
Hear,
yeah. Let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, man.
Good.
I know you're upset about Calipari. Let's hear it.
How much longer are we going to keep Calipari? The thing about it is, everybody.
He's here for life. It's a lifetime contract, Mike. He's here for life.
That's what's worrying me. They're saying we can't get rid of him. I mean, last night was embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, it's still okay. I know.
Can you give us one coach that you would rather have than Cal?
Yes, Tom Izzo, Mark Few.
Okay, well, that's just not realistic. They're not going to leave Gonzaga and Michigan State.
You don't know it.
No, I do. I'm telling you, they're not going to leave for Kentucky. So can you give me some more options?
St. Peter's coach.
Okay. See, this is what's happening. We're not talking in reality. Yeah. I mean, this is still Cal that is bringing in another great recruiting class. So we can be frustrated, but we can't say that he needs to leave when you can't tell me who to replace him with.
What, Brad Stevens?
Okay, again, unrealistic. He's not going to leave the Boston Celtics GM job. That has been a pipe dream for the last decade.
We could try Billy Donovan, but he's already turned us down twice, so he's not coming here. So I think, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, because you don't want Billy Gillespie 2.0 to walk through the door if you get rid of Cal.
I understand the frustration. Yeah. I get it. But, you know, it's where do we move on from here? You know, we cannot correct the mistakes that have been made. What's the best plan moving forward? I don't think the best plan is firing a coach midseason.
And it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
I don't have $90 million either to give him. I don't think Mitch Barnhart does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, what happens next year if we're in the same boat?
Well, if it happens next year, it'll just have to happen. I mean, I don't think that it will, but you never know. I mean,
well, we didn't think we'd lose two games this year either.
Right. Well, I mean, again, it's still November. Thank you for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. Always good to hear from you.
Remember Notre Dame gang.
There you go. All right. Mike's always on Calipari. Look, again, though, I know it's frustrating to lose, but it's early. It's November. Chill out. It's fine. I think it's going to be just fine. You still got the talent there. I'm not saying this team is going to win a national championship, but I think that this team is still going to be fine. It's so early on. It's hard to make any kind of judgment one way or another 5 games into the season.
There is some criticism warranted, but yes, I am with you, Shannon. Let's take a deep breath and see how the rest of the season goes.
Doug, what's up?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting it there. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons for last night. That crowd was pretty phenomenal, for one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. They were great.
Yeah, let's face it. It's actually the first road game, true road game of the year. I don't care what they called it. But, and Oscar kind of, he's gone off script just a little bit last night. I think he got caught up a little bit early in the Timmy-Shebue matchup. And I think he wanted to outdo Timmy. And I think he kind of went off script a few times. I think that's what Cal was referring to when he was talking about Oscar not knowing the plays. Because he just kind of, you know, you could tell he just threw up a couple of outside shots that were pretty bad, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not criticizing Oscar. Don't get me wrong.
No. You can't.
I mean, the kid just got caught up. I think he's gotten a little bit of the Hollywood touch this year where he did last year, you know. But that's fine. I mean, he deserves every accolade. I love the kid. But I think this team's going to be fine. They just need to work themselves out. Nobody's going to win a game going 0-for-10 from 3-point line in the first half. No way. It's just they're not going to win many games like that. Not against good competition.
All right, Doug. Thanks for the call, man.
Doug.
And Calipari warned us. You know, he said there's going to be some bumps in the road early on. I mean, it's not like it's anything that he wasn't expecting. So he was trying to prepare us for it. For the whole thing, for the start
of
the season.
That's true. He did say that. Yeah. Let's be patient with these guys. The shots will start falling eventually.
All right. He's Billy Rollins. I'm Shane and the Dude. It's the KSR pre-show. KSR is coming up next. We will talk to you tomorrow morning starting at 9 o'clock. Thanks for listening.